I'd like to express my gratitude once again to our team who come on Sunday morning to help all of the technology and the background pieces of this happen. I have some staff members around me here as well. I'm so grateful for the leadership of this church, the way that the body of Christ comes together, even in times like this. You know, late December, early this year, as I was praying through and thinking through what I was going to be preaching on in 2020. It's always difficult to determine that, kind of hard to tell sometimes. And I really felt solid about this series, doing this in Philippians. I'd struggle back and forth with a couple of things, but I kept coming back to this. And particularly, not just this, but talking about joy. How do we have joy? And as the virus started ramping up and all the things started happening around the world, I said, Lord, I've heard this wrong. I've got to read this. We can't talk. This is going to sound trivial to talk about joy in a time like this. People are not feeling joyful in this moment. We need to talk. You know, we need to do something else. And the impression of this kept coming back. Joy. We got to talk about joy. And so I know that's where we are. I know people are struggling. I know. In fact, last week, the New York Times ran an article that began this way. It said, people are looking for joy in the midst of the crisis. So here we are. We are looking for joy in the midst of the crisis. I'm not trivializing. I don't want to do that in any way. I'm not pretending there's no pain. I am going to talk about a joy that can transcend what we are going through, that you can know in Jesus Christ. I know there's all kinds of memes and things going around online. One of my new favorites came out yesterday. Somebody sent me a picture of a guy standing he was actually on a phone in a corner. Big old redneck guy cut the sleeves off of his shirt. He was calling the CDC asking, I've cut the sleeves off my shirts, now what do I sneeze into? We have all kinds of problems in this day and time. That's probably not the worst, but it kind of reminded me of a little guy that was sitting at the dinner table one evening, mom and dad, and the kids were getting ready to eat. And as they had prayed, they asked God's blessing on the meal. And then just about the time they finished, the little first grader sneezed right into his hands. And then he took his hands and wiped them on his pants like first graders would do. That would be a very, very normal thing for first graders to do. And then he started eating his macaroni and cheese. Mom said, no, young man. You've got germs on your hands now. You need to go to the bathroom and wash your hands before you start eating. So he pushed away from the table and got up just kind of murmuring under his breath. And then he said, Jesus and germs, Jesus and germs. That's all I ever hear about here, around here, and I can't see either one of them. And maybe you're tired of hearing about germs today. I certainly hope you're not tired of hearing about Jesus, but we're going to be talking about Jesus today. And how do we find joy in this kind of time? And I hope your home life is a little less stressful than that, at least. I know it's hard. Some of us are trying to shelter at home, doing some different things, trying to work from home, and life has become quite different. It's not as easy to get out and do things as we normally can, so we've got to find different ways of doing it. But we're going to find joy even in this. Can we find joy even in a time like this? And we're not just talking, please remember, we're not just talking here, folks, about ordinary joy. You can find ordinary joy if you're observant. You can find ordinary joy in playing with your children, your grandchildren. You can find ordinary joy in enjoying a wonderful meal, watching a beautiful sunset. We can find joy in a lot of things in life. And you don't necessarily have to be a Christian to have that kind of joy. We're not talking about that kind of joy. We're talking about a kind of joy that will sustain you through what we're going through. That in spite of what we're experiencing, you can have joy. That kind of joy is not ordinary. That kind of joy is not normal. In fact, it is very abnormal. This is a joy that Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 11, when I put that reference in parentheses on my iPad as I was writing notes out, and it auto-corrected to Jim 15:11. So it's either the book of John or the book of Jim. 15:11, Jesus said, my joy I give to you. My joy I give to you. Just like my salvation I give to you. My spirit I give to you. My joy I give to you. It's a gift from God. And yet there are ways that we can lean into that joy that will truly sustain us, even if we're in the middle of a jail cell in the middle of the night. We can sing psalms of praise. Even if you're in the middle of a living room in a coronavirus crisis, you can sing songs of praise. Even if you're in a hospital room in the middle of the coronavirus, you can sing songs of praise. That kind of joy is what we're after. That's what we're talking about. And, you know, and Paul had that. We know he did. We've been studying and reading along, and Paul has been very intimate, very personal with us as we studied in chapter 1 verses, the last part of this of chapter 1. And now we turn to chapter 2 today, and we're getting ready to come into some really important things that we need to apply for ourselves so that we can know the joy that Paul was talking about so much in the first chapter. So we're going to read just a few verses this morning, beginning in verse 1. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by having the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility consider others, count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, in yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Paul had a contagious joy. It was the joy that Jesus gave him. It was the joy that Jesus knew. Even when he went to Jerusalem, knowing he steadfastly, he resolutely set his gaze on Jerusalem. He was going to go to Jerusalem, knowing that when he went there, he was going to die on a cross. And yet he had joy. How is your joy today? Now, the hinge point of this text, and let me just give you a big picture if you're ready to switch over and watch Joel Osteen or something this morning. Let me give you just a big point to kind of think about, to take away from this study today. It's found in verse 5. And this is kind of the hinge point between this week and next week, what we'll be talking about next week around the Lord's table on Palm Sunday. But this is where it says, have this mind in yourself that was also in Christ Jesus. You know, if we do not learn to think like Jesus, if we do not have the mind of Christ, we will not know the joy of Christ. We have to think like Jesus to have the joy that Jesus came to bring us. And if we want that joy that can't be taken away from us, if we want that joy that we cannot lose, even in the midst of austere times, even in the midst of difficulty, even in the midst of confusing, perplexing, unprecedented times, if we want that joy, we have to do three things. Number one, we have to embrace the body of Christ. We have to embrace the body of Christ. Now, even as I was preparing this message, I was having conversations with people about social distancing. They were asking me questions, you know, and figuring out how to embrace the body in a time of social distancing is challenging and tricky, to say the least. And I know that there are a lot of you watching. Maybe some of you are enjoying being at home in your pajamas watching on TV. But a lot of people go, I would love nothing more than to be able to be with the body right now, to be able to be with people, to be, you know, it's okay, it's great that, Pastor, we can hear you preach, but that's not as much as being with the people, being with the body of Christ. And that's why the church is so incredibly important, that we be together. But let's remember something. Paul was not physically present with the Philippians when he wrote these words. He was socially distancing in a jail cell in Rome. He was separated by force. He was forcefully taken away from the people that he would long to have been with, would love to have been with, but he could not do that because he was in jail at that time. I'll never forget the Iranian pastor Pastor Neil and I heard from a few years ago when we were in Turkey. We met with some pastors who were smuggled out of Iran to meet with us, to help us understand persecution, and for us to pray for them and encourage them. We got to spend a couple of really wonderful days with these guys, and I'll never forget the pastor who said in our last time together, he said, when you sing, sing loud for us. I thought, that's a strange prayer request. Until you understand that in Iran, there are no church buildings. People meet illegally in their apartments, small gatherings of believers. They come in at different staggered times so people won't see a stampede of people coming into the apartment at one time. And when they meet in their apartment, they meet very quietly. When they sing very quietly because they don't want their neighbors to hear that there's a church in that apartment and turn them into the authorities. So he said, when you sing, sing loud for us. Sing loud for us. Never forgotten that. Never, hopefully never will forget that. It helps me to sing loud. And we need to sing even in times of isolation. Isolation can't keep us from worship. But what Paul gives us, let me get through this text. What Paul gives us in the first two verses are things that make the Christian community strong and healthy, even when we cannot physically be together. So let me just remind you of a few things we've already read. Let me just highlight those, and I'm not going to preach on each of these points by any means, but I just want to just highlight a couple of things. First of all, he talks about when we're together, we have this encouragement in Christ. We need to learn how to encourage each other even in this time while we're separated. He said that there's any encouragement in Christ, and there is, and we are to be sharing that encouragement. Next, he talks about if there's any comfort from love. Well, certainly there is comfort in love. And we need to learn to love each other, even maybe at a distance for a time. He said if there's participation, fellowship in the Spirit, if any man is in Christ, if any man has not the Spirit of God, he is not in Christ. If you're a believer, you have the Spirit of God living inside of you, and that makes you a participant. Any person you meet who is a believer has the same Spirit in them that you have in you. And he talks about affection, if there's affection and sympathy. Did you know, and I didn't know this until shortly ago, that we have over 100 widows in this church. Over 100. Our Jewels of Joy ministry tries to pull these ladies together and encourage them and pray for them. They eat together and worship together. There's room. We need affection and sympathy, especially in a time like this. And finally, we need to walk in harmony. Paul said, if in Christ, we need this harmony, this unity is so essential for us. This unity is so essential. It all drains down to that one bucket. We are to be in harmony with each other. We're to be in unity with each other. We're to be walking in love. Jesus said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We have to, and this is embracing the body. We have to love each other. We cannot say, I love Jesus, I don't want anything to do with the church. We can't say that. We need to embrace the body of Christ in these ways. And these verses tell us what that love looks like. Joy comes to us when we embrace the body of Christ. That's what completes, Paul said, our joy. Secondly, we need to embrace the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. You know, until we embrace the mind of Christ, we're never going to know the joy of Christ. Paul locates everything he's saying around the two little words, in Christ, in Christ. If there's participation in the Spirit, we have in Christ over and over again in this text. If there's encouragement in Christ, Christian joy requires a healthy relationship with Christ and with Christ's people. We can't pick and choose. We say, well, me and Jesus, we get along fine, but I don't like anybody in the church. Well, we have a problem because Christian joy requires both of these relationships to be healthy. And Christians are called to act like Jesus. And acting like Jesus means we have first begun to think like Jesus. You're not going to act like you're not thinking. If you know or you or somebody that you know acts like the devil, it's because they're thinking like the devil. And the enemy, by nature, we know, is selfish. And he's proud, and he's self-seeking. And let me just be honest with you, if those are characteristics that are very prevalent in your life, you have a thinking problem. You are still thinking like the enemy. If you default to selfishness, if you default to pride, if you default to self-centeredness, you're thinking wrong. You're thinking wrong. The mind of Christ bears three fruits, three attitudes. Jesus, Paul tells us, Jesus was unselfish. The mind of Christ is unselfish, it's humble, and it's sacrificial. He refers to this mind, the mind of Christ. This is really, literally, the mindset of Christ. He refers to this three different times in these five verses. Let this mindset be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. There's a direct correlation between what we think and what we do. If we are like-minded, as he said, we will have the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Our fellowship with believers, folks, and with one another and Christ is rooted in how we think. And thinking always precedes acting. We act exactly like we think. The very first temptation on earth, the serpent's temptation of Eve, was a temptation of thought. He messed with her mind. Did God really say, don't eat that? Did God really say that? Do you know he doesn't want you to be like him? If you eat that, you'll be like God. When she thought it, she ate it. What we think about, folks, is what we do. Our thinking precedes our acting. I've been reading a book lately called The God-Shaped Brain. What would our minds look like if we had not sinned? If they've not been distorted by sin? How would our thinking and our acting, our living be different? How would we think if we began really to think like God created us to think? What if your mind had never been interrupted and distorted by sin? You know, the Bible says the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Part of what begins in us the moment we're redeemed is a process called the renewing of our minds. Our minds begin to be renewed. Think of it this way. Think of it as a sort of a rewiring of your brain. You know, there are 300 trillion nerves that begin in your brain. They move out to the rest of your body. Think about that. 300 trillion in the human brain. God wired every one of them in. When sin comes, your wiring gets messed with. Sin literally rewires your brain. Did you know that? And the renewing of our minds is a way of God working to reconnect those nerve endings, to reconnect those thought channels and processes in a way that would be more like he created us to be, a God-shaped brain. How do we, you know, God made us in his image. He gave us a mind like his mind. He let us have that. And we've distorted that with our sin. It's not a process that happens overnight. Doesn't begin overnight. It's a process that we cooperate with as we read God's word, as we give input to our thinking and our thought processes that will help us think like God thinks. Let this mind, this mindset, this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Our attitudes reflect how we think. Your attitude is a reflection of your thought process. If you have the mind of Christ, you're going to have the attitudes of Christ. And again, we said there are three of them. He's unselfish, he's humble, he's sacrificial. If you have the mind of Christ, you're going to be unselfish, humble, and sacrificial. It's that simple. If you don't have these things, you know, the way you look at people is like a mirror. The way you look at people is really the way you see yourself. Think about how you look at people. If you're a selfish person, you're going to be suspicious of other people. If you're a generous person by nature, you're going to be more trusting of people. If you're honest with yourself, you're going to be less likely to anticipate deceit from other people. If you're inclined to be a fair person, you're not always going to feel like you're about to be cheated. The way you look at other people is like looking in a mirror. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Is the mind of Christ being reflected in you? Are you humble or are you constantly seeking to exalt yourself? Are you unselfish or are you mainly concerned with what you want no matter what happens to other people? Are you sacrificial or are you more concerned with losing or protecting your privilege and your possessions or your life? Now, I can imagine some of you asking, let's just stop. I can imagine some people are asking right now, okay, Pastor, I'm going to throw a flag here. We're in a crisis. We're in a crisis. These are hard times. I have to take care of me and mine, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? The Bible says, you know, if you don't take care of your family, you're worse than a dog. I have to take care of me and mine. How do I do that without being selfish and pushy and self-centered and proud? I mean, on most days, I'm a reasonably humble, unselfish, and sacrificial person, but we're in a state of war right now. Surely we get a pass on this, don't we? How do we survive when everyone else is pushing themselves and protecting themselves and not being sacrificial? That's a really good question. The bigger question is, are we going to be like Jesus through this crisis? Or are we going to be like the worst of humanity? Simple question. Do you want your life to be remembered as the person who fought and scrapped and tried to stay one up on every other person through your whole lifetime? Or do you want to be the person that they say, I don't understand why they were the way they were? Which do you want to be? The mind of Christ determines the answer to that question. How would Jesus think about this present time? You know, this is the mindset that's most needed right now. If you've been in the market looking for toilet paper and hand sanitizer and Clorox wipes and paper towels, and other products that are seeming to get more and more scarce. If you've been there, well, you don't want to go in there and be humble and self-giving and, well, you just get run over in the crowd, right? And then what? Here's where it starts, folks. Finding joy, being joyful, means having the mind of Christ as you and I relate to other people. And relating well to God and others means that we're going to live unselfishly. We consider the interests of others ahead of ourselves. My daughter the other day was in the drugstore. She didn't tell me this to use today. In fact, I'll probably have to give her $5 because I didn't get her permission. But she was in a drugstore. She'd gone in to get something. There's a little elderly couple in there, and they were looking around. And she heard them talking. They were looking for, they'd gone everywhere. Neither one of them should have been out. They run out of Clorox wipes, and they apparently used a lot of those, and they were just torn up. They couldn't find them anywhere. They couldn't find them at the store, so they went back out to their car, and Allie checked out, and then she came outside, and she looked at this little couple, and she remembered she kept a bottle of Clorox wipes in her car just to clean up if she got out in public. And she went over to her car, and she brought them the Clorox wipes. That's simple. But I thought, man, if we could figure out how to manufacture that right now. Wouldn't it be cool to have somebody walk into a store and say, hey, wow, there's a shelf of Clorox wipes or paper towels. I'm going to buy some extras and just stand out front and say, hey, you need these? Oh, you wouldn't do that. No, we can't do that. Not in this culture. Not in this time. That's insane. Or maybe that's the mind of Christ. We're to live humbly. C.S. Lewis suggested that the first step of humility is admitting that we're proud. How about that? You want humility? First step, admit you're proud. You'll never get there otherwise. The Bible says God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. And finally, living sacrificially. We don't hold anything back. I wonder if we could live all out right now. We have our opportunity, church. I wonder if we could live all out right now, hold nothing back, and say, we are going to live for Jesus. We are going to think like Jesus. We're going to embrace the body of Christ. And finally, we're going to embrace the sacrifice of Christ. Looking unto Jesus, the author of Hebrews says, the founder and the perfecter of our faith, who endured the cross, despising the shame. He endured the cross, despising the shame. What is the mind of Christ? Let me read a few last verses. Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as something to be grasped or clung to, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Listen, I know this. I know that every person watching this today, or whenever you're watching it, it'll be recorded, you're not a believer. You don't believe this. You don't have joy. You don't believe this, but you're looking for something, aren't you? I mean, these times, they're scary. They're uncertain. We don't know. Nobody can tell us how this is all going to turn out. We don't know. We know that this week, Florida is getting worse. We don't know how much worse. And I would be remiss if I did not say honestly, I don't know how anybody could walk through this time and not know Jesus and not know that whatever happens, I'm going to win. Whatever happens, I know the outcome of this. I can get up every morning. I'm not always whistling a tune, but I can get up every morning and I know that my life is safe in the hollow of the Father's hands, and I don't have to worry about it. I don't worry about it. Listen, if you don't know Jesus today, I want you to do something. In fact, I want you to pray with me right now. I want to lead you in a prayer. If you'd like to pray this prayer, please do it. Listen, this is why you tune in right now. This is what you need to hear. So please, bow your heads. Maybe you've got a friend you need to be praying for. Maybe they're in the room with you, a family member. Pray with that person or for that person. And let's do that right now. Pray with me right now. Right now. Father, I come to you, Lord, everything in the world. My world is falling apart right now. I don't know what to do. I don't know where to turn. I come to you, Father, because I need hope. I come to you this morning because I need joy. I come to you because I need peace. I come to you because I need salvation, forgiveness of my sin, the washing away of my shame. And Jesus, we know you went to the cross to deal with our shame and to deal with our guilt once and for all. And friend, right now, if you'll just say, Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is my salvation. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And nobody comes to the Father but by him. Forgive my sin. Make me your child. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can text the word next, N-E-X-T, to the number 904-747-3125. We will connect with you there. If you're on Facebook Live, we have an online pastor waiting to talk to you right now. You can go online, Facebook Live, and you can talk to someone right now. Reach out to us. Let us know. You prayed the prayer. You want to know more. You need to know more. Please do that. Think about that and act on that today. The mind of Christ will bring you the joy of Christ, the peace of Christ, and the salvation of Christ. God bless you.